Extreme Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming online at thegamenashville.com. We are on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, review, and SoundCloud. You can find us everywhere. Appreciate you taking the time to listen this week. Coming off a great weekend at Michigan. Of course, NASCAR rolls into our state, Tennessee, at Bristol this weekend. Gosh, I love Bristol. Been there several times. Such a cool place. We'll talk to Bubba Wallace on this week's edition, the driver of the 43. Excited to do that. You know, he had that hard wreck a few weeks ago. So we'll talk to him, see how he's doing. But we have to lead things off with, let's see, who won? Must be a member of the big three. Kevin Harvick. That's who it was. Kevin Harvick gets his seventh win of the NASCAR season. How about that? This guy continues to be on fire. Of course, Kyle Busch as well. Martin Truex Jr. has had a really good year, has four wins. But I still think it's a big three. But we're talking about Harvick. We're talking about Busch. But Kevin gets it done, dominates the race, and he had dominated the first race at Michigan, and his teammate Clint Bowyer came away with the win. So Harvick goes in and dominates this one. And ends up going to victory lane. But we do have to discuss that he had a passenger with him when he went to victory lane. Really cool moment that he takes the checkers, and his son Keelan, his six-year-old son Keelan, is brought out to him, gets in the race car, gets to ride on the passenger side with his dad and do the victory lap, and got to hold the flag. Such a cool moment. Really shows you how much of a family sport that NASCAR is. And it went a step further. Young Keelan then got to go into victory lane. He did an interview with NBC. And then he went to the post-race press conference where he was asked about his experience.
It was fun to enjoy that moment.
Keelan Harvick, 6 years old, doing his very first press conference. You know, not much to say. His dad was able to get a little bit more out of him.
How was the ride?
Good.
Was it rough?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think the shocks needed some adjusting, or how was it?
Fun.
Okay, fun.
Kevin and Keelan Harvick sharing a fun moment. And there will be a family theme to this show today, because a couple of drivers made some news, made some announcements, and there's kind of a tie-in. But going back with Kevin Harvick, this is a guy that has won seven races this year. And, you know, now it's kind of to the point of, all right, well, do you think it's you're going to be able to keep it up? Do you think you're going to be able to keep it going? And I think that's a fair question, because you look at just how dominant he's been. And we've had years where one driver stands out, you know, among everybody else. Well, this year it's been three. You've had Harvick, you've had Busch, and they have, you know, Harvick has seven wins, Busch has six, Martin Truex Jr. only has the four, but he's been right there. He's been just as competitive, and they've popped off a few more wins here in the last month or so. But I thought it was interesting. He was asked after the race, you know, do you ever wonder if this is going to end, if you're going to be able to sustain this success?
Well, the confidence is high, and, you know, right now you just don't want to screw it up, you know. So, you know, I think that the biggest thing that it does is it actually makes you work harder, because of the fact that you want to cover all the details, because you're fairly certain that when the car rolls out of the hauler that it's going to be fast, and if it's not, you have the tools and the people to be able to figure it out and fix it. So, you know, when you look at June and you look at this weekend, you know, the setups and the things that are in the car are totally different, and that's just the evolution of this sport. And You know, when you have guys like the 18 and the 78 and all the cars that are in the garage that want to win races, they're going to continuously push. So you can't sit on your hands and you have to continue to progress. And I think, you know, you look at Ford announcing the Mustang. I think that's an example of that. You know, you look at the success on the racetrack, but that's not always going to be good enough. Everybody's going to have, if you give everybody a whole winter to work on their stuff, you know, from a Toyota and Chevrolet standpoint, you know, they're going to work hard to make more downforce and, you know, with whatever the rules are and try to move forward. So we have to have something that we feel like we can push forward. And I think everybody feels like, you know, that's where we're headed with the Mustang.
Yeah. And so you listen to Harvick there, and I think he's smart with his answer because he knows that if one team continues to do something at such a high level, eventually other teams are going to figure it out. I mean, that's just kind of how sports work. It's like a quarterback that comes into the NFL and is just a phenom and you can't figure him out. Once they get enough film on him, that's when you kind of figure it out. Harvick and Stuart Haas Racing have been able to adapt and to stay competitive basically since he got there. And, you know, he referenced the times where he didn't feel as confident, and you know, back in the day, that whether it was RCR kind of going through some struggles or he just didn't have his best stuff. I mean, he knows what it's like to not be as confident and as competitive. And then now that he is, I think he uses that to his advantage to kind of look back where he's been to keep going forward to where he wants to go. So Kevin Harvick wins his seventh race of the year. Now, I thought this was interesting. Mark Garrow from PRN. Once these drivers got to Bristol, which we'll talk about a little later in the show, Bubba Wallace also coming up here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He asked Harvick, Busch, and Truex the same question. And that question basically was, how does it feel to walk into the track every week knowing that you have a chance to win it? Here's Kevin Harvick's answer to that question.
You know, it's fun. And, you know, I think that the biggest thing for me is I've been totally on the opposite side of this. And you know, you come to the racetrack knowing that you don't have a chance every week. And what are you going to do to fix it and how are you going to fix it? And now it's, you know you have a shot coming to the racetrack. You got a group of guys and team and organization and manufacturer and everybody who's trying to figure out how to keep it going and doing everything that they can to keep progressing the cars and the team and everything around it. So it's, you know, for me, it's kind of full circle. And, you know, I think over the last almost 5 years now, we've been fortunate to have, you know, a lot of success. Nothing is really different this year. You know, it's the same group of people, same organization. You know, I shouldn't say there's nothing different. There's a lot different as far as just the being in the second year with Ford, you know, and being able to have four cars that are running well says a lot about the organization. But, you know, I think as you look back and I go back to 2014, I feel like we were in the same position, just didn't capitalize on the amount of race win opportunities that we had just from, you know, part failures and inexperience and mistakes and all the things that we did that year. We were able to win a championship, but you know, it's you know, that was a year that I put the performance right up next to where we are, even 2015. But this year, I think we've just capitalized on more moments to win races. And in the end, that's really what it's all about, is how many times do you get to victory lane?
That's Kevin Harvick, asked by Mark Garrow of PRN, what it feels like to basically walk in every week and knowing you have a chance to win. And I thought about that question before I play the other two drivers' answers. It is amazing that each week, you know, there are some years where it's kind of, like I said, it's like, you know, you have a few that stand out, but you don't really know who's going to win. It's like, oh, you know, Earnhardt was really good at these tracks, or Jimmy Johnson's really good here. Jeff Gordon was really good there. It honestly has been, okay, which one of the big three is going to win this week? Oh, Chase Elliott got a win. Awesome. Something different. But it seems like we're more focused on these three drivers than we ever have been on a race, on a championship race like we have before. And so, you know, going into Bristol this weekend, that's Kyle Busch's track, but Truex runs pretty well there too. So does Kevin Harvick. So really, while the smart money would probably be on Kyle Busch, it could go to anybody. It could go to any of those three, or you could have somebody else come out and win this thing. So here's Kyle Busch on how it feels knowing that he has a chance to win each week.
I mean, obviously, it's a huge confidence boost in being able to come to the racetrack with that sort of strength and how having everything kind of work together. So, you know, it's been a long time, I guess, in being with different teams and different crew chiefs and different peoples that that I've felt this strong. But I've had this sort of thing on the Xfinity side with many of crew chiefs, you know, whether it's been Radcliffe or Adam or Chris Gale, you know, a few of them on the Xfinity side. And Dave, we felt like we had that going for a couple years on the Cup side with Dave, but there is just something maybe a little bit more about myself and Adam and the team that we have. Many of the team guys, a couple of them are the same as what they were back with Dave many years ago, and a few of them are from the Xfinity team. When I felt so good with Adam on the Xfinity side, we brought some of those guys over, and we've kind of mixed and blended some other guys over the years here and there. So it's certainly been very rewarding to all of them, I'm sure, as well as me, to have this group right now, and hopefully we can keep it together for a long time.
Kyle Busch, knowing that he has a chance to win each week when he walks into the track, and I'll play Martin Truex Jr. real fast and then give you my take of tying all this together.
Oh, it's definitely a lot of fun. I mean, it's you know, something that, you know, worked towards for a long time, the Cup Series, obviously, and you know, for our team, you know, we've been able to be in that position, I feel like, for a few years now. So that's been fun. It, you know, definitely wasn't overnight. You know, 14, we struggled. 15, we started to get our arms around things and get that momentum. So it's been fun to be able to do that for the last couple of seasons. And, you know, hopefully we can keep doing it. We'll just have to wait and see.
The sense I get from all three of those guys is they're having fun. And how could you not have fun when you're winning so many races and you're competing for a championship and competing for a regular season championship, which is pretty important going into the playoffs? But they're all confident. They all just have this, I believe that I can win mentality. And I think that they have all at one point in their career, we know Harvick has, we know Truex has, Kyle Busch was that way earlier in his career, that they couldn't walk into a track thinking, oh, I got this, this is mine this week. It just wasn't that simple. And now it is, and I think that that takes so much pressure off of them that it just allows them to perform this way and give race fans something that they haven't seen in a long time, a three-way battle for the championship. And with this playoff format the way it is, I think it'll be even more exciting because there's a very good chance that all three of them could end up at Homestead, but I think there's equally as good of a chance that some of them don't, because you never know what might happen. So, you know, to me, I think it would be a disappointment if all three weren't at Homestead. But, you know, if Harvick gets into trouble or Kyle Busch gets into trouble, you know, they may not make it. And we had this conversation about another sport on a morning drive on our morning show this week. Basically, sometimes the best team doesn't win, that it's just, it's any given Sunday or whatever cliche you want to use. But sometimes the best team actually does win. We don't know which one is actually the best. I don't think you can completely base that upon race wins because they've all been competitive. So we will see how it shakes out again this week. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game. Bubba Wallace coming up a little later on the show. But when we come back, we talk about a couple of drivers that made some announcements. Who are they and what were they? I will tell you. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game, online at thegamenashville.com.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5, the game.
We're back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game. Chase McCabe here with you. Find us online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes as well. Subscribe, rate, and review there on iTunes, and you can also find it on SoundCloud. Before I get into the big announcements that the drivers made, I want to make one of my own. This will not be the only podcast that I will be doing here at the Game Nashville. Also starting this week, I have launched a pro wrestling podcast, and I know there's a little bit of a crossover with a NASCAR fan base and pro wrestling, so you can check that out. It's called Through the Ropes. The first episode features Double J Jeff Jarrett. He's in studio with me, and we just kind of sit back and tell stories and talk a little wrestling, so you can check that out as well at thegamenashville.com. Now, as for announcements, let's start in the Cup Series. Casey Kane, who of course is driving for Levine Family Racing this year, was at Hendrick Motorsports up until last year and stepped out of that ride, announced he was walking away. Here is Casey Kane on when he knew the decision that he had made the decision to step away from full-time competition.
It's been on my mind for a while. I mean, truthfully, last 2 years at Hendrick and then the year here at LFR, just like as far as competition, I haven't been as competitive as what I want to be. So I would say, you know, over the last 3-4 months, it started getting on my mind, like, man, do I need to find other things to do and think of other things to do? And I just finally made that decision, you know, but it's definitely been there for a few months, I would say, this year. LFR is working very hard to make improvements, even get better from where we're at right now. And that was exciting to me. So it, you know, kept me in it a little bit longer, but then I finally just decided, you know, that it's time to do something different.
That's Casey Kane today at the Bristol Motor Speedway announcing that, or Friday, I should say, at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Basically, he put on his Twitter account, this came out Thursday, that he was stepping away from full-time competition. Now, a lot of drivers, a lot of people in sports, they always word it, stepping away from full-time competition, because they leave that door open in case things ever happen. Prime example would be Jeff Gordon. A few years ago, he more or less retired, but said he was stepping away from full-time competition, and then he was able to come back and fill in for Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it's like, okay, well, we can't give him crap for unretiring. So that, I think, is why they, you know, kind of word it that way. But look, Casey Kane's walking away. He's retiring. And, you know, he's a guy that I've met Casey. He's obviously has had a nice racing career. He's had several big wins in his career. But as of late, the last few years, and you heard him note it right there, he just hasn't been competitive. And so I think that this is a decision that, you know, is, I'm not going to say easy, but is one that I'm sure he thought about. He has a young son that you'll hear about in just a second. But, you know, he just, I think, sounds very much at peace with this, and the timing is right. You know, I can't imagine what it's like to go from Hendrick Motorsports, the top of the mountain, and nothing, please, nothing against Levine Family Racing, but it's just a completely different animal. I mean, you have the top notch equipment and the best people over at Hendrick, and then you have a single car team that just doesn't have the funding like Rick Hendrick does. And so it has to be completely different. And I think for Casey Kane, and they've run up front at like Daytona and places like that. But I just think the spark, the desire just isn't there like it used to be. And a big reason for that is he's changed his focus. And we're seeing that with a lot of these drivers now. You know, you heard Kevin Harvick having his son Keelan with him for several weeks and talking about that. And, you know, I just think that the focus shifts with some of these guys now. And Casey Kane went on to say that, you know, his new focus is now family.
You know, I love NASCAR. It's been, to me, it's been such a big part of my life. I've enjoyed every bit of it. We'll keep watching and keep coming to the races when I can and things like that, and supporting dirt car racing, supporting all the racing. I mean, I was thinking last night of how many different types of cars I raced over the last 25 years, and it's been crazy to think of all of the cars and the success that I've been able to have in so many different cars and things like that. So yeah, it's just something that I always truly have enjoyed, and but need to just back off a little bit and not do it quite as much as what I have, because, you know, it's just the time that I'm missing a bit with him. I actually get so much time with Tanner, and that's one thing I saw people say, like, you just, you know, you'll get more now, and I will, but I get a ton of time with Tanner, but it's just going to be different time now. You know, it's not always going to be on the weekdays. Now it can be weekends. We can go to a football game. We can go to a baseball game, just do things and not be completely thinking about racing while I'm with him or while I'm at a dinner or so many different things that go on throughout a week or a year, my mind is always in racing. And it's all I've thought about for 25 years. It's all I've wanted to do and figure out how to get better as a driver, as a team, understanding the cars, all those things. You know, how can I get better? And it's all that's been on my mind. So to just back off of that a little bit, I think will be really refreshing and be really good for me and my family, friends, things like that.
Casey Kane announcing that he is stepping away from full-time competition after this year. So it seasons in and talks about his young son. Priorities change. And, you know, for some, I think that that's more on their mind than others. But I also think, like, you look at somebody like Kevin Harvick that has a young son and a daughter, and, you know, he is having the time of his life because he's winning, because he's competing every week. So he doesn't really think about it as much. What's interesting is Casey Kane, under the age of 40, and you've had a lot of different drivers step away years before they really had to. Carl Edwards would be one of those guys, and there's, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., I guess, was in his 40s, but you kind of felt like he still had a few more years. Tony Stewart was towards the end, but a lot of, you know, some other things had happened with injuries and you know, of course, his deal with the dirt car accident that he was in. But I just find it interesting that you have a guy under the age of 40 that he's stepping away. So naturally, Bob Pockrass, who was on this show last week, asked Kyle Busch about that. Like, hey, do you ever think about it? You have a young son. Do you ever think about stepping away earlier than maybe you originally anticipated?
I've asked my accountant that question, and he says I'm screwed. So I gotta keep going. I got way too much debt. So unfortunately, I don't think I can retire as soon as the rest of those guys are currently at the moment. We'll see how things go in the future with what I got going on. So, you know, we've gone through a lot of change over the years with packages and cars and things like that in the Cup Series. And I've been around for a few of them, maybe not as many as some other guys like Jimmy, most notably. And Kurt, but you know, it still feels like there's some opportunity to excel, and you hope that you can excel. Obviously, the better drivers, the more talented drivers should always shine and come to the top, and you know, maybe we can still have that opportunity with whatever new package is coming, if it is coming, and that we'll see what happens in that regard.
So it's very tongue-in-cheek by Kyle Busch. Doesn't plan to hang it up anytime soon, but I do think that more of these drivers think about that than they let on. Casey Kane was not the only one that walked away or said he was walking away at the end of the season. Elliott Sadler, who's driving for Dale Jr. For Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series, is, you know, fighting for a championship. He also announced that he would be stepping away from full-time competition at season's end.
As a person, as a dad, I just think the time is now to, you know, to move on to the next chapter of my life. I love being around, you know, my wife and kids. I love being Coach Elliott. I've already got another job, so that's cool. Going to be coaching a lot of baseball in the future, and looking forward to that chapter of my life. So it's a pretty easy decision for me to move forward, and I want to explain one thing. The reason why we worded it the way that we did, retiring from full-time racing, is, you know, Kelly and I have had a lot of discussions in the last, you know, couple weeks, couple months leading up to this, and you know, I love Junior Motorsports to death. They've been so good to me and my family, and you know, I wanted Kelly to know and understand. I'm not sure what their plans are for next year as far as who's driving what car, who's doing what. I do know they want to be four teams, and you know, they want to have a chance to go out and win championships. But I left it open-ended just in case they needed anything. If they needed me to run a couple races here or there to maybe fill a schedule, or, you know, to help a partner out, I would, of course, be willing to do that. But my time as a full-time driver is coming to an end. And I feel good about the decision. I can sit in front of you today and feel really good about where I'm at today personally and professionally, and we'll see what the next chapter brings us.
Elliott Sadler announcing he's stepping away from full-time competition, and he even clarified. He even said, like, look, I could still run some races for Junior Motorsports, but the theme there is the family thing, and I respect that. You know, it's a different time in NASCAR as you're seeing these people that have been around for a while step away. And I think that now more than ever, it's more important for the younger generation to step up and to take the reins and to, you know, maybe change how people look at this sport. But it's theirs now. And, you know, 5 years from now, Jimmy Johnson's going to be gone. Kevin Harvick will probably be gone. You'll have Kyle Busch, who's still probably around. Kurt will probably be retired. I mean, look, and that's all speculation, but just looking at their age and everything, that it's just going to look a lot different here in the next few years. But that's it. That's racing, and that's how it's always been. That's sports. You're going to have a new generation come through. So I think it's even more important for guys like Eric Jones, Chase Elliott, and our next guest, Bubba Wallace, to really do their part, Ryan Blaney, to step up and to take NASCAR into the future. So that's a perfect segue here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, we will talk to the driver of the 43, Bubba Wallace. He will be my guest next. Chase McCabe, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online at thegamenashville.com.
Yo, Nashville, Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe here with you as always, and I am very excited to be joined by the driver of the famed number 43 Richard Petty Motorsports Chevrolet, Darrell Wallace Jr., better known as Bubba. Bubba, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was good to get your good news last week that you were not expecting twins. I know that was very exciting for you, but let's go back a few weeks ago when you had that crash at Pocono. I know that knocked the wind out of you a little bit, but it was good to see you get out of the car. What was that whole experience like for you?
Yeah, an experience I don't want to relive again, that's for sure. That was the hardest hit of my career. You know, and for a split second, you don't know if you're going to, you know, walk away from it. So thankful to be able to climb out and have a bruised foot for a day, and now we can talk about it and how crazy it was and laugh about it.
How amazing is it as a guy that, you know, I know you've grown up watching racing and now driving cars, just to see how safe NASCAR has made these things, and not just NASCAR, it's just motorsports in general, that, you know, go back to the early 2000s and 2001, of course, when we lost Dale Earnhardt, and just how far these cars have come.
Yeah, the safety's has become, you know, really a long way from those days, and you know, NASCAR, that's at the top of the list for NASCAR, is making sure all the drivers are safe. So, you know, we appreciate their efforts, and, you know, my guys here build great and safe race cars. So so we know climbing back in, it wasn't an issue for me to climb back in the next week and go out and compete again, just knowing how safe these cars are.
Bubba Wallace, driver of the 43 Richard Petty Motorsports Chevy, on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers. So you're going to be racing at Bristol coming up this weekend, the night race. It's one that everybody needs to go to, the NRA night race at the Bristol Motor Speedway. You led some laps there earlier in the spring. What's it like racing at that bull ring?
Yeah, no, it's a blast. I've been racing there since I was 14 years old, so I've always enjoyed that place a lot. It's a special track for us, so for us to be able to go out and lead some laps back in the spring was big, and definitely brings a lot of confidence back for us this weekend. So I'm going to try to go out and do the best that we can and capitalize on a short track weekend where anything's possible.
Is short track racing it seems like it takes a different breed of driver to be able to really, you know, dominate on these short tracks. Is that something that's just always been fun for you?
Yeah. I mean, you grew up on short tracks so you kind of have that forte, that skill set already, and it's just about honing in on it and sharpening your skills. So, you know, Bristol's one of those ideal short tracks that you'd love to get your first win at.
Is it even more special for you that when you go to some of these historic tracks, you're driving such a historic car in the 43 car and having Richard there. I know he was there last year. I went to that race and saw him just wandering around and sitting on the holler watching the race. Just how cool is it to be a part of history as you try and make history in your own right?
Yeah, no, it's a really cool, you know, piece and feature and just a great moment in our sport. And for me to be able to have this opportunity with an iconic team and such a great team. You know, we're having a lot of fun this year. We don't have the finishes that we want, but we're still making the most of it. So, you know, we show up to the racetrack each and every week with our heads held high and ready to battle. So that's all you can ask for as long as we're prepared and ready to go. But to be driving the 43, knowing that history that stands there, it's there's some pressure and there's some weight on your shoulders, but at the same time, like you said, we're trying to rewrite history ourselves. So we'll keep pushing the needle on areas we need to and see what we can do.
Well, and it was a pretty cool story for you because I know you were at Roush in the Xfinity Series and had some sponsorship stuff, and you had the opportunity to fill in this car last year, and ultimately it led to a ride, and you recently signed an extension to remain with the 43 car. So it seems like you guys are building something.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what they've seen in me to do another 2 years, but I guess it was something good. So excited about that. We can, you know, really start to build on the momentum that we have and get some good things going now that, you know, my deals are usually announced in December, early January. So that really puts us behind the eight ball. So now that we got the news out there early, we can already set up and focus on next year.
Was it kind of double pressure of going through just being a rookie in the Cup Series, which is not an easy task, being with a new team that you didn't have a lot of experience with, and also you switch manufacturers, and that manufacturer switched bodies. So you've had all the Chevy teams kind of figuring out the Camaro. Has that just kind of all been a little bit more pressure than you were expecting when you joined the Cup Series?
Yeah, I mean, I knew going into it, you know, it was going to be kind of an unknown of what our performance level will be like. You know, I think we're behind on where we want to be right now, but we adjust our expectations and we have, you know, each and every week we have certain goals and set goals that we need to accomplish. And most of the time we do. There's some weekends that you're going to have those bad runs, but it's all part of it. It's all a learning curve for me. So going to these tracks for the second time now is definitely a big help.
Talking with Bubba Wallace, he's the driver of the 43 Richard Petty Motorsports Chevy. He'll be racing in the Bass Pro Shops NRA night race this weekend at the Bristol Motor Speedway, just a few hours here from Nashville. You are a young driver in a new generation of NASCAR, and we kind of see, you know, guys that in the past generation that are moving on. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has retired and is now in the TV booth. Tony Stewart a few years ago. You have Jimmy Johnson, you know, probably in the twilight of his career as well. What does it mean to you to kind of be tasked of taking this sport into the future as being a next-gen driver?
Yeah, it's special, you know, for NASCAR to label me as, you know, one of the up-and-coming guys and trying to, you know, change the sport and bring new life. It's been a fun journey. You know, I just continue to go out there and try to be myself and let the fans latch on to, you know, me personally and take that to new heights. So I'm not changing up anything. I just kind of keep doing my thing, the thing I've been doing for the last 15 years and they like it. So it's just about going out and being, you know, 100% real and raw and showing that emotion that people can connect with. And so that's what I'm gonna keep doing.
And that's what NASCAR has kind of always been known for, is having these personalities. And as you just alluded to, you definitely have a personality that the fans really, really like. I mean, you tell it like it is. You get out of that car at Pocono and are making a joke that you're okay, but that they did the ultrasound. And I think people just kind of gravitate towards that. And with this sport in, you know, the state that it's in, of people maybe that were Earnhardt fans that are looking for that next driver, you're right there to be their guy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you've seen a lot of tweets where people were, you know, ever since Dale Jr. retired, I didn't know who to pick, but now you're my guy. So I think that's, you know, pretty special when you read those things.
Bubba, I appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend at Bristol. And, you know, we've had a few drivers on this year that have gotten their first win after being on the show. So hopefully I can send you some good luck and you can get your first win at Bristol.
Yeah, appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
Bubba Wallace, the driver of the number 43 Richard Petty Chevrolet, racing this weekend at Bristol Saturday night. And this is a guy that, you know, I love the personality. And we were talking about it there in the interview. I mean, I think NASCAR needs a little more personality, and he's a guy and in a way that like the fans like and get behind. I mean, I think there's personality now. Kyle Busch has a personality, but it's kind of, to use the wrestling term, he's kind of the heel. Whereas I think Bubba Wallace is kind of the baby face. He has a little bit of attitude. He has that personality, but he's somebody that the fans seem to gravitate towards. So, you know, really impressed with him. I think he's got a lot of potential, a big future in NASCAR. You know, he's running for a team that I think is trying to find their way. He wants to be a part of bringing the 43 back to relevance and get it back to victory lane. And I think with the right resources and having Chevy on board and working with RCR, I think they can do that. So it's going to take some time. It's not one of those things that I believe will happen overnight. But I think that the bunch there at Richard Childress, or excuse me, Richard Petty, will get things going with Bubba Wallace and that 43 car. So appreciate him for taking the time to join us this week. Pretty cool stuff. Again, you can rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes. Find us on thegamenashville.com and on SoundCloud. We are everywhere. This show is building, and it's all thanks to you all that listen every week. And, of course, you can hear it throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, it's Bristol, baby. We'll talk about that. Get you ready for a little beating and banging on a Saturday night at a short track. It is one of my favorites. We will discuss that next. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming online at thegamenashville.com.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN The Game Nashville on Google Play or iTunes and download the Game Nashville app now.
Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you online at thegamenashville.com. You can find us on the app as well on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe, check it out, and also on SoundCloud. And a reminder, my pro wrestling podcast kicks off this week. Jeff Jarrett will be my guest on Through the Rope, so be sure to check that out as well. But this weekend, Bristol, baby, got that going on. In East Tennessee, a great track. If you've never been to it, you definitely need to check it out. So a lot to kind of digest with that, because you have the big three that are going in there. And look, we all know Kyle Busch has 7 wins at this track. He is that is the most among active drivers. He's so freaking good there. In all, let me read this stat for you on Kyle Busch. He has 7 Cup wins, 9 Xfinity Series wins, and 5 Truck Series victories at the Bristol Motor Speedway. He is phenomenal at this track. And he was asked last week, this was last week at Michigan, he's finished 3rd there, he's talking to the media, and he is asked about Bristol, because everybody knows it's next, and he's so good there.
Yes and no. I mean, certainly Harvick's been fast there too. I think he won there a couple years ago. But you know, obviously we're kind of on a hot streak with Bristol. We love going there. I would like to think that we can go there, be fast, and be able to respond. Absolutely. So we'll see what we can do getting there, and hopefully having a fast race car and doing what we normally do there. Is just try to stay out of trouble. It's a tough place to stay out of trouble.
And so he's good there. Harvick, of course, is good there. Truex, not as good as those two. He's had some struggles over the years, but I think that he's in a completely different place than he has been, too, with just the way things are going at Furniture Row. But I think everybody looks at Kyle Busch as kind of the guy to beat, and he's the safe bet going into Bristol this week. And I would agree with that, but I also think that this has been unpredictable this year on which one of those three, or if there is going to be an outsider jump in there and win. I think that's kind of been the interesting part about this season. Brad Keselowski, for instance, is a guy that has been so up and down and had a good finish last week, finished 2nd at Michigan. And, you know, I wonder if it sets in with the other drivers of, every time they go to the track, we gotta take out the big three. We gotta beat Harvick. We gotta beat Busch. We gotta beat Truex. And I think it's interesting if they actually think about that. Here was Brad Keselowski's answer on if he thinks about having to chase the big three week in and week out?
Yeah, I don't know if I've really put a lot of thought into that. You know, I go to each weekend as a reset point, thinking and feeling as though this could be the weekend where we have the speed to win that way or can execute that way, and I think you have to. And then when you start to get through the weekend, you have to get the most out of what you have. So we've had some races where I feel like we've been equal to or better than those guys, where we haven't put it all together, mostly the plate tracks, I would say. So that's kind of on us to get a result. But on these types of tracks, you know, the mile and a half, the intermediate, whatever you want to call them, 2 mile tracks, we haven't had that yet, but we've been closer some places than others.
He's a guy that also performs well at Bristol, and you can't rule out Kurt Busch. Ryan Blaney was strong there in the spring. So I think while Kyle Busch is the safe bet, I wouldn't sleep on some of these other guys getting in there and getting it done. We've seen it, you know, the last few weeks that, you know, Chase Elliott got a win. That was one. Clint Bowyer has won. Austin Dillon had a fast car last week, finished fourth, but, you know, was competing for the win. His best finish since winning at the Daytona 500. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else, you know, is in contention, but I also, and this is a cop-out answer, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Harvick or Busch battling it out for the win at Bristol, because that's just, that's kind of what we have seen as of late. So the Bullring, Saturday night under the lights, there's going to be tempers, there's going to be beating and banging, and, you know, I think Ryan Blaney is probably going to be one of those guys that's up there competing again, had a top five last week at Michigan. So as of who wins, very easy to say Kyle Busch. Could Kevin Harvick make it eight on the year? That's what's interesting. Now, you know, I think there's another race. I think the race is who's going to get 10 wins, because I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like just with so many races left, one of these guys is probably going to hit the 10 win mark. And I think that's kind of fun to see that they're fighting for that. But let's not forget, you know, we of course talk about Homestead and we talk about the playoffs and all of that, but there is a regular season championship that these guys are competing for right now. And I think that's very important. And when you look at the actual standings, not the playoff standings, but the true point standings, Kyle Busch is currently the leader. He has a 62-point lead over Kevin Harvick. And Kyle has 6 wins, 17 top fives, 19 top tens, 2 DNFs. You look at Harvick's numbers, 7 wins, 17 top fives, 19 top tens, but 3 DNFs. And that's the difference in points. I mean, Harvick has led more laps, but that one DNF gets 62 points behind Kyle Busch for that regular season championship. And Kyle was actually asked about the importance of fighting for that regular season title.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, certainly. You know, we're trying to make sure that we can close the regular season with that championship, get those bonus points. That's what's most meaningful, is those bonus points to carry you on through each round of the chase. You get those at every start. So that's going to be important. You know, as far as what we can do to make sure that we still achieve that is just run strong. Points are going to take care of themselves if you're running up front and doing all the right things. You know, certainly last week Harvick won both stages. We finished second in both stages, and then he won the race and we finished third. So, I mean, that was as close as we could be the whole day and not lose too much ground to him. He's the closest competitor, even though they're still kind of a ways back. But if you have a bad week here in the next couple of weeks and erase that deficit, it's going to be a close battle all the way to the finish of the regular season.
And see, that just shows you the one DNF that Kevin Harvick had, the one extra DNF that he had over Kyle Busch. I mean, basically is 62 points. He even has one more win than Kyle Busch, and he's still 62 points behind. Their numbers are so similar. So that's just how important like this weekend can be, because we all know that you can get caught up in somebody else's mess at the Bristol Motor Speedway, and it's one of those self-cleaning racetracks. It's really hard to avoid any of the trouble. So Saturday night, we'll be watching. Of course, we'll talk about it next week here on Chasing Checkers. Chase McKay, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A couple of things before we wrap up this episode. There was a follow-up. So Kevin Harvick had said after he won at Michigan, and he had been with Keelan the whole weekend, the last few weeks, he had said that it was kind of better to ask for forgiveness than permission from wife Delana Harvick. And I was laughing because, you know, Keelan got in a go-kart and a quarter midget. And, you know, Kevin was very quick to say that he knew Delana would not be very happy about that. So, of course, he was asked about a follow-up to update everybody on how it went with wife Delana.
Yeah, the quarter midget didn't go over well. Eating pizza for dinner every night didn't go over well. And running the golf cart into the tree didn't go over well. So, you know, the victory lap kind of covered a lot of that up, and that, you know, it was really neat that we were able to make that happen, just because of the fact that, you know, he and I had actually been talking about it. And how often do things like that happen when you're just randomly talking about a situation like that, and able to actually make it happen? But it was pretty cool to climb back in the car to do a victory lap, and the first thing I did was reach over and give knuckles to, you know, my son sitting in the passenger seat. He did get stage fright, though. They told me they had to basically carry him out there. He got to the wall, and he's like, I don't want to go. I don't think this is a good idea. And so, you know, as we got him over there, and he was able to, you know, be within, you know, football field of me, instead of, you know, being right next to me, he was way more comfortable than being within a football field of me. So it was just a great moment, and super happy that NASCAR was able to let us cooperate, was willing to cooperate and let us do what we wanted to do. And you know, what a memory. And to be able to do that as a dad, all you dads know that's pretty cool to celebrate stuff like that with your son at work.
It's Kevin Harvick, and I wanted to play that because that kind of wraps up things with the whole family theme that we've had. Started with him, goes full circle. But, yeah, having to explain some things to wife Delana. Don't want to be in the doghouse with the misses. So Kevin Harvick, and will he win race number 8 of the year coming up at the Bristol Motor Speedway? And also quickly, Martin Truex Jr. was asked if there's an update on his contract. Of course, there is not. He did go in depth about it a little bit, that he wants to return to Furniture Row, but it's all about sponsorship, and that's what they need. So something to keep an eye on, a guy competing for a championship. You know, I feel like they get it done. You heard Bob Pockrass last week say he feels like they're going to get it done, but there is a chance that Martin Truex Jr. could be somewhere else next season, something that we will have to watch. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. I'm Chase McCabe. Again, you can subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Please do. Just search for Chasing Checkers where you get your podcasts. And also, we are online at thegamenashville.com. and on SoundCloud. Through the Ropes, the wrestling podcast, is also out there. Be sure to grab that and listen to that. Jeff Jarrett, my guest this week. Thanks to Bubba Wallace, and thanks for listening. Enjoy the race from Bristol. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.